All right, we're back here at Chicago Jazz Reveal, live at Katharina's. Now, of course, I'm Mike Jeffers here live at Katharina's, and we record here every Tuesday night at 7 o'clock till 8 o'clock, 1920 West Irving Park Road, katharinas.com for more information. And we are joined here with Brian O'Hearn, who's going to be performing here after the set. I see you brought your bus of fans with you.
Oh, yeah.
Brian's a piano player, but he's also a band leader in town. And he and I have seen each other a couple of different times just here while we've been doing the Katharina's thing, because you've been performing. Tonight you're going to be performing with Nicole Kessler. And but you play all over town in a lot of different situations. One of the main situations that you do is your band, Brian O'Hearn and the Model Citizens. But before we even get into talking about that, Brian, how did you get into music? Were you always a piano player? Did you try any other instruments? What made you get into music?
Well, it started as a tot. I had a babysitter that was an Italian lady, and her family, I don't want to say adopted me, but I was always at their house, and their daughter gave piano lessons, and so I started piano lessons at, I don't know, 5 or 6, playing on their piano, and just been hooked ever since. You know.
Mm-hmm. And did you get into jazz at that point, or was it just all kinds of styles?
No, I got into jazz when a buddy of mine, who was a bass player, that was a 6th grade, we met, and his dad had all these great jazz records, and mm-hmm. we'd hang out and listen to him. And
when you were in 6th grade?
Yeah.
Wow.
And you know, I can believe who that guy, David Rothstein. He's a jobbing band leader.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, his dad had all these great records and stuff, and we met in 6th grade. I was getting ready to go to the bathroom. And I heard dum 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 coming out of the band room, which is right where the bathroom mm-hmm. is. And so I know how to play that on the piano. So I walked in the band room, said, "Hey man, check this out. I know how to play it." So he used to study with Nick Schneider.
Oh sure.
When he was
yeah.
a kid,
yeah.
Everyone in Chicago knows Nick Schneider.
Yeah.
So we went. He said, "You got to come to my teacher's house, and we'll play this for him. This is gonna be great." All right. Yeah. So we're so proud of ourselves, puffy chested. You know, we're playing. And we play it, and Nick says, "All right, hold on a second. Stop. He said, "You, what key are you playing in?" I said, "C." And he said, "David, what key are you playing in?" "A." Like, we didn't even know we were playing in 3 different keys.
Did he straighten you out as only Nick Schneider could straighten you out?
Sure, yeah.
And you were scarred for how long after that?
Well, you know, we got it together. We did the talent show, and... Mm-hmm. came in 3rd place or something.
So that's it. Good. So you guys were playing. I mean, that's probably right when David started too. So you guys kind of came
up
in the music
age.
Together. Okay.
Yeah, we met in junior high, 6th grade. Yeah.
So and then from there, you guys started playing big band stuff in high school or small group stuff.
Yeah, Elk Grove High School had a great jazz program, big band, jazz choir. Mm-hmm. We were in at the Downbeat magazine's best jazz choir in the country every year.
Oh, no kidding.
Huge program.
Yeah.
We did all the Singers Unlimited arrangements and stuff that Bobby earlier
right,
was talking
yeah.
about. Yeah. As high school kids, they were performing that stuff.
Wow.
So really, really cool.
Man, so what an education at that point. Did you end up going to college after that? Or?
Well, yeah, I ended up going to Western Michigan because I wanted to get into the vocal jazz thing. And then one day into college, I realized it wasn't for me. And
Like the first day in
college?
Yeah,
when I realized that...
Not like one day later.
Just kind of, I don't want to offend anybody, but it just wasn't my scene.
Mm-hmm.
So just became a piano player, studied classical music and jazz, of course. And then 2 years later, went to Berklee School of Music.
Okay.
Lived out in Boston for a while, and then moved to New York for a little while, and then went on the road with the Artie Shaw band from there. Moved back to Chicago, and then went on the road with the Glenn Miller band for a little while. Mm-hmm. And then came back to Chicago and started the Model Citizens.
Just like that.
So there's my bio.
So what the...
Yeah, thank you. That's the way it went down. With a few things in between, but that's about it.
So you ended up going on the road a couple of different times. You must have met a lot of good players in those bands, too.
Oh, yeah.
Were you doing any arrangements for those bands, or pretty much those were the stock arrangements that...
No, I wasn't into arranging at all. I just kind of fell into the big band thing.
Really?
The Ari Shaw band needed a piano player, and I had a buddy on the band and thought I'd be able to do it and did it.
How long did you do that for? Like
about 9 months.
Okay.
There were some great players in that band.
Because that's a grueling gig too, right? I mean, you guys are on a bus for the most part. You guys
a lot of bus time.
Cruising across
the
country.
There was one rule on that band. It was a really loose scene. No drinking before noon. That was the only rule on that band. Only, yeah. Well, we don't want to go there.
I think you just went there.
But no drinking before noon, but great players. As a matter of fact, Pat Malinger from here in Chicago, who's been my lead alto player for the last 17 years, and great pal, he was on that band about 6 months before I got on. So I used to hear about him way before I even met him, before he went back, moved here to Chicago.
Yeah.
But, yeah, great players.
What was it like? Because, I mean, you're playing, like, the Glenn Miller charts and you're playing the Artie Shaw charts and things like that. As a piano player, that had to really give you a perspective because you have to play it pretty close to what the original was, right?
Oh,
I mean,
sure.
You can't really, it's not like some sort of thing. So, I mean, did that really help your education as you
absolutely, playing all those great arrangements.
Because where else would you have done that, probably? If you came back to town, you would have never played half of that stuff.
No, it's great. Yeah, education. Oh, absolutely.
And especially doing it, for a lot of our listeners that don't know, when you're doing, like, some of those bands, I mean, it's kind of grueling, too, because you're on a bus and you can't drink before noon. So, I mean, that's horrible to begin with. But then then you're playing a gig at night. You go to bed. You probably sleep sometimes on the bus as it's moving.
Oh, you do a lot of sleeping on the bus. Yeah. Or read.
Then you get off, and then it's time for another gig, right? I mean, it's like that for the most part.
Yeah, pretty much day to day, yeah. But it's fun, especially, I was young. I was in my early 20s.
Yeah.
It's easier to do.
So when you came back to Chicago, did you start playing around town and getting gigs and stuff, or did you right away say, I want to start a big band right off of the
No, just did the usual piano stuff and, I don't know, whatever pays money, answer the phone and pay the rent, regular stuff. And then, want to hear how I started the Model Citizens?
That's going to be my next question, so
the
epiphany? Might as well go for it.
Let me take a drink here. The aforementioned Pat Malinger, I was sitting with his girlfriend at the time, now wife for many years, and we're watching some big band videos that I had. Somebody gave me or something. Thought it'd be entertaining to watch. Mm-hmm. And I'm watching this band, and all of a sudden it came to, like, I'm going to start a big band. Like, just out of nowhere. Like, this would be so cool to do. All these guys were jumping around the stage and playing and wailing. And I forget the name of the band even. It was something, I don't know. And I said right there, I'm going to start a big band. Everyone laughed at me. Yeah, right, yeah. I mean, who's going to really do that? That's stupid, And the next day, I started writing stuff, and I did get a jazz composition degree at Berkeley, but only wrote one jazz big band thing. Wasn't into it at all. I wanted to be a rock star. I wanted to, like, join a rock band or get into recording or somehow or sure. studio something or but jazz. I don't know. I don't know. Oh, sorry. I mean, it's a nice hobby, but I don't know. Whatever.
It's a nice hobby.
So here I did, like. Started the big bands, just started writing things, and it just grew and grew and grew, and I think it's the greatest band in the world. Model Citizens.
Well, I mean, what gives you an inspiration to write a big band chart? I'm not talking, I'm just, like, trying to envision coming up with the concept of writing a big band chart, now you're writing the tune, and then you have to expand it into a big band chart. So, I mean, do you come up with a melody like you would in a small group or something? Or?
Every song or every chart is a different trip. Sometimes I'll sit down and want to write something just specifically big bandy or something. Sometimes it could be a little personal experience. Sometimes I could maybe copy something from another band and then change it just a little bit and then put my name on it. I mean, I've probably written about over 100 charts by now, and every one is just a little different from where it comes from. Yeah.
Well, what's the story behind the Model Citizens name?
Oh, that's a great story. Good question.
I'm glad I asked.
Yeah. our original drummer, Iris Biscus, and our bass player, Matt Ferguson, we were sitting in my living room preparing to go to the Cubs game, doing a little pregame ritual. But you can figure that out. And those guys were in the other room, and I was listening to Harry Carey talk the pregame stuff. I didn't live too far from the game, so we didn't have to travel very far. And Harry Carey was talking about Deion Sanders, and he said it like three times, what a model citizen he is off the,
oh,
you know, the model citizen. And I'm sitting there kind of in my own world, you know, just thinking, model citizen. And I had the band already, but wasn't going to call it the Brian O'Hearn Big Band. I was looking for a name, but I wasn't just going to call it something. I had to find that name, you know. Model citizen, model citizen. I said, hey guys, we're model citizens. We're model citizens. That's exactly what we are. Thank you. Yeah.
Harry Carey gave you the name.
Harry Carey, yeah. Talk about Deion Sanders.
There you go. Well, why don't we hear a track by
All right.
by the model citizens. It sounds kind of like that. How about, what's the first track we're going to hear?
Are you going to play Bootsy Tootsie on the Fruitsy?
Bootsy Tootsie, I'm a Fruitsy. What's the name? See, and that's the other thing. That's the cool thing about this band is that Brian O'Hearn and the Model Citizens, are you ready for some big band? Isn't that sort of like, are you ready for some football?
Right, yeah, yeah. Are you ready for some big band?
So we're going to hear Bootsy Tootsie on the Fruitsy.
That's Andy Baker. You'll hear the first thing. He's from England, and his voice... It has a special quality to it. You'll hear it.
Well, we're not going to go right into that because I need to get a background. What's the title?
Oh, that's something I used to say to my dog, I think, when I was about 10 years old. Bootsy tootsy on the bootsy. I don't know. It's just a little... it sounds funny.
Let's take a listen here. So it's Brian O'Hearn and the Model Citizens off of the recording. Are you ready for some big band? And this is Bootsy Tootsy on the Fruitsy. On Chicago Jazz Revealed, 90.9 FM, WDCB, chicagojazz.com.
Fancy Tootsy on the Fruitsy!
We're back here at Chicago Jazz Revealed. I'm Mike Jeffers, and we are live here at Katarina's, 1920 West Irving Park Road. And we are with Brian O'Hearn, and we're just talking about, first of all, Harry Carey gave you the name Model Citizens, which I love, as he was talking about Deion Sanders. And then we just heard the tune Bootsy Tootsy on the Fruitsy. And, you know, for everybody that's listening, I love these names because, you know, I get a lot of, I get tons of CDs into Chicago Jazz Magazine on a month, you know, every month. And, you know, everything is just very, you know, academic. You know, it's very, it's going to be very, very serious stuff here, man. This is going to be serious stuff. And we had Bobby Lewis on earlier, and I mean, the music's incredible, but he's got fun names and fun tunes and everything, because I think that's what jazz is supposed to be, right? I mean, that's the thing. So now I'm looking down this, and I'm seeing Frugal Tall Hag. Right?
That's from Glenn Miller had Bugle Call Rag.
Okay.
There's a story behind it, but it's really not that interesting. So let's just go on
to
the next song.
The next tune is Bones Are Swell.
It features the trombones. They are swell.
I love it. Springtime hormones.
You know, yeah, you know.
I'm not going to keep reading because I could read. I think that there's a whole show here just reading the album, the names. But I love it. And when you listen to the music, you know, I've listened to some of this in the past, too. This isn't watered down big band music. This is like pretty, you know, tough music just to perform, right?
Oh, I mean, yeah. The guys in the band are super heavy. They're the best players in town. They're great. They're all super great Model Citizens, of course, as well. And, yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, that's what I'm getting at is that, I mean, this stuff is complex things to play. I mean, how long does it take you to put something like this together? I mean, do you just write all night when you get back from a gig or something? Or?
It depends. Like I said, every song is different. Sometimes it takes a few days. Sometimes it takes a couple of weeks. You know.
Now I know that you play the third Monday of every month.
Third Monday of every month, yeah.
At the Gallery Cabaret.
Right.
And you've been doing that for 17 years, so you must have started doing that right when you got the band together.
Yeah. Well, we actually started playing at a couple other clubs, but... Yeah, the third Monday at the gallery has been our steady, rock steady for a long time.
Mm-hmm. How tough is it to keep a big band together? I mean, obviously, you guys are making millions of dollars performing
right.
The big band music. So is it just because you guys are all into the money? Is that what it is?
They like to do it, and they keep doing it. And I'm extremely grateful and hope we can do it for a long time.
Well, I mean, how have you kind of got the band out there? Because I know you guys have played other places. You played Jazz Fest, I think.
Yeah, we played a Jazz Fest a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then the best gig we ever did was playing at the College of DuPage. That was in 2006, I mean.
Mm-hmm.
And we filled the place, did a big concert.
The Mackinac Arts Center?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, in 2006. It was fantastic. Tom Tallman, I felt like I was treated like a rock star, like a king.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys have played out of town too, right? I mean, the band has gone different places.
No, we've never traveled anywhere out of town.
Why is that?
I wish.
You'd think.
I don't know. I need an agent or something. I got this great band and don't know what to do with it.
Yeah, man. No, I would have figured that you would have done it, especially, I mean, you know, with the guys that are in this band and stuff like that. So... Well, this is like one of those Chicago gems. So where do you see, I mean, do you have another album on the way? What's happening with the band?
Yeah, my kick lately has been writing covers, like My Sharona to, what's your name? Who's your daddy? All kinds of different cover tunes. And I want to make an album of that. I think that'd be, basically, I want to sell out. I want to make some money doing this thing. But not to brag, but the arrangements are really cool, you know. And that's going to be the next album.
Well, did you learn, I mean, arrangement-wise, did you learn about arranging just on the fly, like, you know, trial and error stuff?
Pretty much, because in school I didn't pay attention whatsoever. I only went to school to hang out. Got the paper, though. You know, graduated, you know. But really didn't care about big band arranging or anything. So, yeah, basically learn.
So it's got to be nice to have a band that you can actually experiment with, right, and work these things out on the regular gig. And I'm sure those guys probably give you some feedback, too, because those guys are really, you know, heavy-duty guys, so they probably give
I don't want to hear any of their feedback, really. No. But I think being doing the other bands, you know, the Glenn Miller and the Artie Shaw was my education in big band.
Yeah.
The arrangers that, you know, Bill Finnegan, Larry Gray, all those arrangers, craftsmen to the nth degree, you know. So you play that stuff every night. It's got to wear off on you.
Yeah. I mean, so you never had to go into, have you sat down, you know, I hear about a lot of guys that do big band stuff or do bigger arranging scores and things like that, and they actually sit down and they look at past scores and really analyze what's going on.
I don't like to analyze it too tight. Mm-hmm. I just want to absorb it and then, you know, take whatever I could absorb from it and then put my own thing with it, you know.
Yeah. Well, why don't we hear one more tune?
All right.
And, of course, you can get more information on where Brian is performing without the big band, because I know you're here at Katarina's every once in a while.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of different places. You and Nicole are here at least once a month, I think.
Oh, at least,
right?
Yeah.
At brianohearn.com. So you get more information at brianohearn.com. And they can also get more information on the Model Citizens and where you're playing and information on Gallery Cabaret.
Right.
Where that is.
So it's better just to look at my Facebook page because the website, the gal made my website for me, left town, and I can't get older. So if you want to, like, you buy the merchandise or whatever, go to the website, you know, T-shirts and whatnot, you know. The coolest thing I have is I never sell CDs on gigs, but they have these cool T-shirts. It's a white T-shirt and it says Model Citizen on it in big black blue letters, and people love those things.
Oh, it's a great Christmas stuffer, right?
Yeah.
Stocking stuffer right there.
Go to the website and find those.
So you can still sell stuff, you just can't update it.
Oh, yeah, I can sell stuff because it goes to a different site. You click on it, it goes to, what's that? Yeah, Cafe Press, and then you buy it off there. So get your Model Citizens gear.
And if you want more information on Brian and where he's performing, find him on Facebook. Is it just Brian O'Hearn?
Yeah.
Brian O'Hearn on Facebook.
Yeah, I'll be friends with anybody, so.
Well, that's what we like to hear here on Chicago Jazz Reveal. All right, well, what's the last tune we're going to hear? Are we going to hear another tune off of Brian O'Hearn and the Model Citizens Big Band?
Yeah, this is the serious side of
called Flash?
Yeah, it's called Flash. It features Pat Mallinger, and it's kind of like a Johnny Hodges kind of feature. You know.
Great. All right, well, let's take a listen to that. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you, Mike.
I know we've wanted to talk to you for a while, so
I never knew
all this stuff. This is great. Maybe we should have you back as a regular guest just for a few minutes just to keep us up to date on your happenings. So
we'll have to
work that out. But all right, well, you're going to hear Are You Ready for Some off of Are You Ready for Some Big Band, Brian O'Hearn and the Model Citizens, and we're going to hear Flash on WDCB 90.9 FM and ChicagoJazz.com. Support for WDCB and Chicago Jazz Revealed comes from the University of Chicago Presents, announcing its new series, Jazz at the Logan, at the Rava and David Logan Center for the Arts in Hyde Park. The season opens on October 25th with The Bad Plus and continues with Annette Cohen, Dick Hyman, Bill Charlap, and others. Single ticket and subscription information at chicagopresents.u, chicago.edu. Welcome to Chicago Jazz Revealed. I am Mike Jeffers here. We are live at Katarina's, 1920 West Irving Park Road here in Chicago. And joining me is Arlene, a vocalist in town, Arlene Bardell. Arlene and I have known each other for quite a long time. We played some gigs together, played some festivals together. And I am happy that we finally got you in. You've got a brand new CD out, and you're working a lot in town, and you've got a lot of different stuff going on. So I'm glad you could fit me into your busy schedule to stop on by the show here.
I'm really glad to be here. I'm glad we finally got this thing going.
Yes. Well, let's talk a little. I guess, first off, I remember when I first saw you perform, and that was when you were doing the Coke Door.
Ah.
Years ago at the Coke Door. Now, that's when they used to have somebody there, what, 4 or 5 nights a week, right?
Yeah, me.
You?
That was moi.
Now, the Coke Door, for our listeners that don't know, that's the club in the Drake Hotel that actually opened right after Prohibition.
Right.
And I wasn't there, but I've heard some great things.
My great-great-granddad
told you to go in and try to get a gig, and you said, okay. No, but they opened, and it's really kind of cool. I know they've rehabbed it a little bit since then, but when you were playing there, it still had that old mystique to it, that smoke-filled, whiskey-smelled joint kind of smelling place.
Smoke.
Yeah,
oh, it was heavenly for a singer.
But, I mean, having that steady gig, is that – because you had that for how many years?
Six.
6 years.
Yeah.
And it was just you and a piano player?
Yes.
And, I mean, doing something like that on a regular basis, that probably really helped you get your jazz chops together.
Certainly. Certainly didn't want to be singing Fly Me to the Moon for 4 hours every night.
So, I mean, because
I had
to
expand the repertoire.
So you could play a lot of different things down there, but it was mainly jazz. And it was,
yes.
But it was with a piano player and yourself. I know Tom Muehlner and Tom Hope, who's performing tonight with you. And probably numerous other ones when you're performing there for 6 years, 5 nights a week.
Yes. Yes. Well, it was one fella that I started with.
Oh, okay.
And then he would sub out, and that's how I met Tommy and Bobby Schiff. And
right.
Tom Hope and Jeremy Kahn and everybody.
So before you got that gig, were you performing around town all over the place? How did you get started?
No, I was performing once a week with this same piano player, Craig Lanigan, or if I don't mention his name, he'd have a fit. But I must mention
You know musicians.
But we started at a place in the suburbs. And that was in 94. And it was once a week, every Saturday, and we had that for 5 years. And then Buddy Charles was retiring,
Buddy Charles.
I mentioned that to him, and he said, we're going to go get that gig. And I said, no, they'll never pay for two people. It's been a one-man gig.
Yeah.
And he said, nope, we're getting it, and we're going there, and we did. We got that gig.
Now, but that's right. Buddy Charles had that gig for a long time.
9 years he was there.
9 years.
He was at this mysterious place called Acorn on Oak that I was never at for 18 years. And then he came to the Drake for 9. Yeah. And
now,
then Craig and I were here for 6 years, 5 nights a week.
Now, are you originally from Chicago?
I'm from a suburb, Worth.
Worth.
The water tower says it's worth a trip to Worth, but it's not.
Great, there goes my sponsorship from Worth.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry, Worth. There's no one around there that I know now.
So you're from Worth, and you couldn't wait to get out of there.
It was a nice day when I left. never been back.
But I'm sure if they had you back to the Worth Jazz Festival, you'd be right there, right?
Okay, here's the thing about Worth. My very first public performance was when I was 12 years old, and I sang for the centennial celebration of Worth. 150 people were there that I had to sing for, and I'm 12.
And it wasn't good, so they remembered it.
Yeah, well, you know, and then it was years later that I actually took up performing professionally.
So you started singing, though, when you were 12.
Yes, I did. I guess we're going to count that Worth gig.
I told you I have an FBI file on you, so I'm just inching my way through it.
Yes, well, so you would know about that.
So did you start taking lessons? Did you do anything like in high school? Or?
No, I didn't do anything like that in high school. I was a little shy, believe it or not. But, yeah, I didn't do anything until I started with a wedding band. I was with a wedding band for a year. And then I wasn't doing anything. And in 94 is when I met the piano player and we started working together. And
that's how it got started.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I was a stay-at-home mom and wife, and I was singing at home in the car. And
so you loved it.
In the
obviously.
Shower. Oh, God. I always wanted to be a singer. Always. Always. Didn't know how to go about it, how to do it.
Well, I mean, becoming a professional vocalist like you are now, I mean,
right.
Sounds like you just kind of fell into a gig. You were lucky to have kind of a piano player that said, I don't want to keep playing in the suburbs. Let's go downtown and take this gig.
No, really, that's the story of my life. Things just fall into place somehow. Good thing, because my business sense is not so good.
You don't want to announce that on the radio. Now the club owners are like, really? That's interesting to know.
I have learned over the years.
Better put a little amendment on that.
An addendum.
So you're playing at the Coke Door, and now you're starting to meet piano players because, as you and I both know, the best way to meet really good musicians is to pay them.
Yes.
So, because it's easy to get really good musicians to play for you when you have money.
Yes,
involved.
It is. And, you know, when I started in the suburbs, it was a quartet. So that's how I really started meeting everybody. Rusty Jones played with us for a long time. And Nick Tuntis played with us. That's really the first time. That's when I met Tommy and Bobby Schiff and tons of bass players and drummers.
Was it a steady in the suburbs somewhere we know?
It was a steady on Saturdays. No, the place is closed down now. After we left, they just couldn't keep going. No, it was called House of Hughes in Midlothian, and it was every Saturday night for 5 years. And it was a quartet every Saturday.
Wow.
Yeah.
And just playing tunes.
Yeah.
Because I know, you know, for a lot of our listeners that might not know, you know, a lot of times now when you go in and if you're playing at a hotel or playing at a club or something on a Saturday, something like that, there's probably going to be dancing, which means you're not really playing necessarily on every tune. You've got to work towards the audience, and that's the way you have to do it in order to work. And you want to entertain people and all that. But it sounds like you were able to really blow and really stretch out.
Yeah, it was an actual piano bar. I mean, people sat around the piano and the bass player and drummer were in back of us. And
wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, is that the way the Coke Door was when you were there, too?
Yes. That's how it was when we started.
Yeah.
They were sitting at the piano.
Because that's how a lot of those clubs back on Rush Street used to be, right? I mean, they had the piano bar. People would sit around the piano bar. I don't know if they still have that. I know at the Gaslight Club out at O'Hare, I think they still have a piano bar type of thing.
Yeah.
Billy Pierce is out there.
Well, doesn't the Redhead, too?
The Redhead, yeah. But I think they have a... They have a synthesizer behind the piano bar.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah.
So it's kind of like a synthesizer bar.
Yes.
Sort of like a Star Wars kind of thing. Sorry, Redhead.
Yeah, I was just going to... Oh, you can edit that.
You just keep dropping all of my advertisers and just leaving. Thanks, Arlene. Show's coming to a crumbling halt.
Oh, God. Okay.
So you're at the Coke Tour. You're there for 6 years, and when they change things around, I mean, you know, 6 years is a great run.
Yeah.
You just started hustling and started getting different things happening.
Well, you know, I worked with Tommy at Gale Street for 2 years after that.
Mondays, right?
Fridays. It was Fridays. And we also had a study at Philander's in Oak Park on Wednesdays.
That was a great place.
It was a great place. And Gale Street was great. We had, that was a quartet too. So the guys that I didn't know from House of Hughes, I certainly met there and played with a ton of musicians there. Kelly, that's what, Kelly Sill. And,
probably Phil Gritteau.
Phil
and
Tim Davis
was there, and everybody. Yep. Now, going through all of that, you still didn't have a recording of your own, right?
Because
you were just playing from one gig to another, and
just
all
the
of a sudden,
singer.
I'm glad you said that. But now you just came out with "Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow," Arlene Bardell. It's a brand new CD. Just came out about 3-4 months ago,
right?
And, I mean, this must have been in the works for a long time.
In the works for a very long time. Takes forever.
To finally get in the studio and put everything down. And
yeah.
I don't think people realize what an undertaking it is to put a CD together. Because, you know, it's not like you just get, okay, guys, let's go in the studio. I mean, you have to put the arrangements together. You have to do the tune selection. But then you have to rehearse a little bit.
Yeah.
Then you have to book the studio time, which is not cheap. Then you have to book the musicians. Then you have to get into the studio, and everybody's got to actually line up all their schedules at the same time. And, of course, one or two people can never do it on the same time. Three or four people can do it. So then you're going back and forth with that. And the only way to really do a jazz recording is everybody's got to play live. It's not like you can do a bunch of overdubs.
Yeah.
So, I mean, with you doing this, how, like, from starting planning stages, it had to be just tune selection. How did you even go about figuring that out?
Yeah, tune selection is the toughest beginning of making the CD. Tunes that spoke to me, tunes that I really, really enjoyed singing, tunes that people I would get a good reaction from when I was out playing, and if I sang something that they really liked, that was a factor also.
Yeah.
So, and when you're making the CD, you want to have various tempos and various keys and various instruments. So, yeah,
it's a lot of thought process.
Yeah.
Well, why don't we hear a tune and we'll judge for ourselves if you did a good job.
The band is great.
So the first tune we're going to hear, we were talking off air, was "I Ain't Got Nothing But the Blues." "I Ain't Got Nothing But the Blues." And this is from Arlene's brand new CD, "Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow?" Of course, what is the name of your website? More information at?
ArleneBardell.com.
ArleneBardell.com. And, of course, that's BardellE.
Correct.
Bardell.com. And we'll be right back here after we hear "Ain't Got Nothing But the Blues." Here on Chicago Jazz Revealed, 90.9 FM, WDCB, and ChicagoJazz.com. All right, we're back here at Chicago Jazz Revealed, 90.9 FM, WDCB, ChicagoJazz.com. I'm Mike Jeffers. We are live here at Katarina's, 1920 West Irving Park Road. You know, I wanted to mention, for the people listening at home, I get some emails and I get some Facebook messages. Mike, does Katarina have a great menu? Do they have great drinks? And Arlene performs here a lot, too. And I have to tell you, at the risk of sounding like, you know, I'm like Mr. Foodie guy now, I love the food here, but the Italian burger. I always get the Italian burger.
Yeah,
it's like ridiculous.
Yummy. Dogger food is scrumptious.
It really is, and it's made from scratch.
Yep.
And it's healthy. It's healthy for you. So that's just a little plug. People are like, you never mentioned that there's food available at Katarina's. I'm mentioning it. And I actually, as Arlene's going to perform tonight, I'm going to be eating something. So.
And great bartenders that make great drinks.
The best
you
bartenders.
Have to say that, too.
There you go. That's right. You got to stop by and say hi to Juan.
Right.
He's always here. He's dealing with me on a weekly basis. So, and he's not even drinking while he's doing that, which is amazing. He's got quite the patience. So, as I digress, now I'm back and I'm talking to Arlene Bardell. So that tune ain't got nothing but the blues. And looking over all of these tunes, I mean, these are all tunes that are from the American Songbook standards, but you know, you put your own little different twist on all of these things. And as you've gotten, you know, more and more gigs under your belt and kept going and going, how did you notice some of these tunes, you know, did you just feel better swinging on some of them? Did you feel better performing them? Did it just get a little bit more ingrained? Did you notice that that's what happened?
Yes, that's it. Of course, with experience and with performing, the more you perform, you do get a feel for what you think is going to sound better, what really does feel right to you, and that's how you decide. I mean, you can listen to 100 different recordings of a tune, and you can borrow from all of them little bits and pieces that you like about them, and put your own input in also, of course.
Well, and I mean, I think most people that are listening know I'm a musician, I'm a drummer, and I can remember, it wasn't that long ago, all of a sudden something just clicked with me, and I was like, whoa, this feels really good the way I'm swinging, or the way I'm playing this Latin tune or something, and it was, you know, I was trying all these different things, and finally it just like, I don't know if it was just because sure determination, I played enough stuff that it finally my body said, whatever, man, let's just make this feel good finally. Here you go. And it just worked.
Yeah.
But that's got to be the same way with a voice too, right?
Sure, it is. And although, and sometimes you'll think you really like singing a tune a certain way, and when you try something else, you wow, I really like the way that goes. And so you're constantly, you're still constantly learning and developing and challenging yourself. That's how you grow as a musician.
Well, that's, and yeah, that's the natural artistic, you know, that's why you're an artist.
Right.
So that you can keep growing and developing it. As far as phrasing goes too, you know, especially like talking about ballads, I see you have a couple of tunes on here. One of my favorite tunes, Blame It on My Youth.
Me too.
What a great tune. And that, I'm assuming, is a ballad because we didn't listen to it yet. But just hearing the different harmonics and the different harmonies that the piano player is performing, especially playing with so many different, that's got to change the way you phrase things too, right?
Yes, but when you're working with great musicians, they're going to follow you. However, you know, they're going to listen. They're going to really listen to what you're doing.
Yeah. I mean, but it, especially with a ballad, I mean, there's so many different colors that the piano player and the bass player can lay in there. That's got to lend even more improvisational and more creativeness into your...
Yes. Everybody feeds on everybody else.
Yeah. Well, so what do you have coming up here at Catarina's? What gigs do we have coming up here? Now,
what
this
gigs
is,
do we
you know,
have?
It's in January, so I know that it, you've got
yes,
some things coming up.
I don't know quite my next date here. I have some crazy kooky gigs that Tommy and I have done for a couple of years.
Now, wait a minute. Are you in the Dracula Quartet?
I am in the Dracula
I knew it.
Quartet. But
Tom,
we already did that because
yes,
that was Halloween.
That was Halloween. But Tom Muehlner was on. And for those of you that are listening, what is it, Boris Karloff?
Yeah,
that's
I
the
think.
Famous the Dracula
yeah.
guy. Anyways, Tom sits up all night and watches those movies.
Yeah.
So he decided to create this Dracula Quartet. So when it gets into October, apparently you're busy with Tom and the rest of the quartet because they do the Dracula Quartet like four or five different gigs around town. And they play, what kind of tunes do you play? It's all based off of something,
it's
right?
It's all, well, you know, it's all a play on things like Haunted Heart, Bewitched, Old Devil Moon, all those things like that.
I asked him one night, and he rattled off like 50 of them. I'm like,
I don't stand a ghost of a chance.
Right. I mean, you know, Tom is a marketing genius.
Yeah.
I mean, he really is. So I know you perform here with him, too. So people can get more information at Catarinas.com and ArleneBardell.com.
Right.
And why don't we hear one more tune from this, from your new CD, Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow? Now, what are we going to hear? We're going to hear If I Were a Bell. You know, I'm looking down all these tunes. Are these all like your favorite tunes that are on that disc?
No.
Okay. Well, we don't have a lot more time, but this sounds pretty interesting. Did somebody make you put these tunes out here?
Yes. Somebody came over to my house and said, you better sing this one. I went, all right. No, I do. I love all of them. Of course I love all of them, or I wouldn't put them on the CD.
But these are some of your favorites, I would imagine, right?
Yes, yeah. They are.
I mean, you've got such tunes as If I Were a Bell. I think that's the one we were going to talk about listening to. But I'll Take Romance, Blame It on My Youth, Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow. Now, Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow, isn't that more of a contemporary
tune?
It's
Carole King, yeah.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. So that you're crossing all the different genres.
I threw one in, yeah. like the other people were talking about crossing over genres.
Yeah.
Yeah, I threw in a pop tune.
Well, that's okay.
Mm-hmm. But I did it as a bossa, so...
You know, and that's something, too, that a lot of vocalists... I know you do this a lot. When we were at the Taste of Chicago, when we played the Taste, we played a couple of different pop tunes, but you can do them as bosses. I think we swung one tune and all that. I mean, you came up in the generation where you've got a whole cross-section of all the different tunes. Do you love that kind of music as well?
I do. I do. I always did. I always liked... All types.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the contemporary stuff, the jazz.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think nowadays, too, especially what we were talking about with Too Hot to Handle, with the crossover stuff and the blending of styles, in order to keep an audience interested, and really that's what it comes down to. Bradley Williams was on the show a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking, and he was talking about how he went to a concert band clinic and a jazz band clinic, and he was the judge. And he went up, and, I mean, they were a great-sounding band. But he said, guys, you guys sound great, but do you know what business you're in? You're in show business. You look like you're in pain. You need to have fun, right?
Right.
And I think that the way you do these tunes, like especially when you do cross, you know, genre stuff, I mean, don't you notice the audience really getting into it? And they start to smile. They're not sitting there. You know, you get some of those dudes, man, with their arms crossed, like, all right, what am I listening to? My girlfriend dragged me over here. Right. And then you shock them with something else.
Right.
That's kind of the way of the world these days, right?
Yes. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Well, Arlene, why don't we take a listen? One more tune here. If I Were a Bell. And this is Arlene Bardell. Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow? Of course, you can pick that up and get more information at ArleneBardelle.com, B-A-R-D-E-L-L-E. I want to spell it out, .com. And thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, it was a blast.
Fun.
It's always fun hanging around with you.
Yep.
And we'll be back here at Chicago Jazz Revealed, 90.9 FM, WDCB, ChicagoJazz.com.
Ask me how I feel. Ask me now.